Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
Thank you. Good to see everyone today. Well, there's a story I heard about two fish, old fish, young fish, swimming along one day, and another fish passes them and says, "How's the water today?" And the junior fish says, "What's water?" And it's an interesting thing. We have this profound ability to not notice what is the most important thing in the world. Generally, you don't think about the air until it smells bad, do you? Or smells nice or something, and you don't even think it's air then. You just think it's something else in the air, which I guess it is. We won't go down that path as I analyze that one. But we live in the world that's profoundly spiritual. And when you think of where God is, I heard someone say this week that when you think of the entire universe and beyond, we kind of think, sometimes you think, where is God in that like position somewhere? Well, actually, it's all contained in him. Isn't that an amazing thought? It's all contained in him. And he is present, ever present. He's present everywhere. Whether, like the fish, you don't realize what water is, God is actually present here now. And you could be a person who is not even sure about that, but he is present. And you could have been a child who didn't know he was there, but it didn't mean he wasn't there. He was there. And so there's this idea, there's this ever-present God. He's actually present everywhere, and it's not determined on whether you think he is or not. It's always there. But there's the manifest presence of God, and that's when he's revealed, and when he's revealed, he changes things. So Jesus is the manifest presence of God who came into this world, and everywhere he went, things changed. People were healed, demons were cast out, people were raised from the dead, people were loved and accepted and forgiven and embraced, and that was the manifest presence of God. It's like people suddenly saw the power of God. And you and I are called to be people who reveal the manifest presence of God, not just say, "I believe in the ever-present God." You do believe in the ever-present God. Well, I'm not saying you have to, I'm not saying you will do. You may not be sure today. But you are called to reveal the manifest presence of God that changes lives. You are. That's pretty amazing. You are not just called to get a ticket to heaven. You're called to reveal the manifest presence of God everywhere you go and see God revealed in people's lives and change them. It doesn't mean you just have to run around bashing people over the head with your Bible. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that somehow you go to places, and you are in places already, where you reveal the manifest presence of God. It might be your kindness. It might be your forgiveness, might be your grace, might be your encouragement. It might be, though, the Holy Spirit's power ministering through you. It might be that you pray for someone in the healed. It might be pray for someone and a demon is cast out. Everyone will have something different to do, but you and I are called to reveal the manifest presence of God. The problem is, sometimes we think that we are just coming to tell God what to do. You're actually called to be an apprentice of Jesus, someone who learns to be like him. And sometimes if you ask yourself enough questions about yourself, you might realize that you thought he was an apprentice of yours. You're teaching him what to do, and he just doesn't listen sometimes. You're telling him how the world should run, and he's trying to get this idea across that he actually runs it. You don't. But you are given a lot of power. So it's to understand your power, what you've been given, but how it works in with actually who's in control of the universe. He holds it all in his hands. So John Mark Comer has a new book out called Practicing the Way. And my son Josh over here told me about 20 times I should be reading that book. And I said, okay. I have a lot of books to read. And I do love reading. I used to get into trouble for reading too long in the night when I was little, until I had a dream that I fell asleep in class, which was a very humiliating thing for me. So then when Dad said, "Turn your light off," I turned it off because I never fell asleep in class. But anyway, eventually I obeyed Josh for fear of Josh, and I started reading the book, and now I say, everyone should read this book. Okay. I would buy it all for you, but it costs about for all of you, except it costs about $30. It's a little bit beyond my budget, and Graham's already complained about that, so we won't do that today. But you can go and buy this book. And one thing John Mark says in this book is this: contrary to what many assume, Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. That's a shock, isn't it? He didn't even call people to become Christians. Keep reading, says John Mark. He invited people to apprentice unto him into a whole new way of living, to be transformed. My thesis is simple. Transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. Said another way, we can be transformed if we are willing to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. Willing to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. So what he's saying is this, is that a lot of us think that becoming a Christian means becoming like a static thing. And you have a tick box into heaven and your sins are forgiven. That is true. You will get into heaven and you rely on him for your salvation. But actually, he called you to follow him. He says in Matthew 9:9, it says, as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. He didn't say, become a Christian, Matthew. He said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And you, some of you may know this, but in the New Testament, in the whole Bible, actually, the word Christian is there three times. And at first, when it was mentioned, it was like when people were first called Christians, it was like a derogatory term, which they turned into a good term. But before that, they were called followers of the way. The word apprentice or disciple or follower is there 269 times. And so what's happened to a lot of us, particularly in the West, is that we've made a very static thing. I'm a Christian. Sometimes it's a badge of superiority. I do this because I am a Christian. But actually, you were called to become an apprentice or a disciple. So this word disciple, we don't use very much now except in church. And generally, when we think of disciple, we think of 12 of them. But there are actually more than 12 disciples. There's a whole lot of women following him around. At one point, he sends 72 out to do things. And disciples were very, very common in Jesus' time on earth because they were apprentices to a rabbi, and they walked with that rabbi and they followed that rabbi. So the aim was that you were with the rabbi and you got to know the rabbi and you learnt from the rabbi, and then you were trained up to do what the rabbi did. So Jesus is saying, will you be my apprentice or my follower? And it's very different to just getting a little ticket to heaven where you just think, I'm okay now. I'll pop into church every now and then just to remind myself what I believe. No, the way Jesus changes lives is letting him change you, and then you bringing the manifest presence of God into the world around you. John 1:43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. In other words, come and learn from me, get to know me, become like me, do what I do. Matthew 4:19, he sees Simon and Andrew, who are fishermen, and he says to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come and learn from me, get to know me, become like me, do what I do. And to you sitting here today, he says, follow me, get to know me, become like me, do what I do. To everyone here today, no exceptions. Who would like to learn something new today? Who would like to see something new? If you think you know it all, you're missing this amazing God who contains the whole universe. And that's a funny thing, because the universe doesn't have a wall. It's never ending, as far as we know, as no one's ever been to the end. And that's mind-boggling. And so mind-boggling that our little brains can't get our minds around it, even though our little brains are fairly clever. And so today, may you have your eyes and ears and hearts opened to receive something from the Holy Spirit today, who will stretch you, who will allow you to have a time now where you are with him, where you become like him, and you learn to do what he does wherever he has placed you. And he says in Luke 9:23, he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. That's tricky. Take up your cross daily, that means die to yourself, and follow me. And he will apprentice you like that every day. It could be in very, very simple things where you are about to be angry with someone. I heard a guy sharing a testimony recently. He said when he first became a Christian, he was a mechanic. And he was a new Christian. He was working with another guy who was a Christian or an apprentice of Jesus. And it was a small little country town. And he knew that there was a guy whose car was meant to be fixing or ute he was meant to be fixing the next day. And he knew this guy had stolen some tires from them. And so he thought, when he fixed the car, he's going to do a few little things in there to make it not quite right, just as a little bit of payback. And he's laughing about it as he's working on the car. And the other guy says, what are you doing? He tells him what he's doing. He's saying, is that what Jesus would have done? Oh, maybe it's not what Jesus would have done. So he fixed the car properly. And the next day the guy came back and he said, by the way, I know you stole the tires. And the guy, oh, that goes, you know, like that. And he says, but don't worry about it. I fixed your car and there's no cost. I fixed it for free. So he changed. Can you imagine what impact that had on that guy? Because he became a follower, an apprentice of Jesus who freely forgives. Amazing is that? He became more like Jesus in that moment. So you can be apprenticed in any situation and you don't know what's about to happen tomorrow or even today, even when you walk out of here today. But you can be so attuned to the Holy Spirit that you're being apprenticed to becoming more like Jesus in all of those circumstances. And this is something you need to enable to happen for yourself. Like you got here today because you got in your car and you drove here today. Part of your apprenticeship. You're here. You're worshiping today because you intentionally brought yourself here to do that. You may be in a connect group or a Bible study and you intentionally go there because you want to be this apprentice that he called you to do that brings change into people's lives. And it does take a bit of discipline. It does take a bit of practice. It does take a bit of dying to self. It takes a lot of that because some of the ways of Jesus don't go with us all that well, like this utter forgiveness. Like even when I said that about he didn't even charge him, I'm sure some of you would have thought, well, he should have at least charged him. But that is the kindness of God. That's the generosity of God. It says in Romans, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Dallas Willard says this, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. Or John Mark writes it this way in his book that Josh told me to read that you should all read, little plug. The greatest issue facing the world today is not climate change, surveillance capitalism, human rights, or the spectre of nuclear war, as utterly crucial as all these are. But can you imagine how many of these problems would effectively be solved overnight if the billions of living humans who identify as Christians all became apprentices of Jesus? If their driving aim was to approach every challenge as Jesus would. So when we think of the billions, don't think of all those in America and England and Europe. Think of you. If your driving aim was to approach every challenge as Jesus would, you see, Jesus is not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for apprentices in the kingdom of God. It's a whole new way of living. And you intentionally decide to apprentice yourself to become like him, to learn from him and then to do what he does. And it starts, there's a key to how it starts. And I think if it doesn't start like this for you, in my life I've seen people start and not finish well. And I think one of the reasons that that happens is your identity. Because sometimes you start and the reason that you start running is because you can get approval, like for looking really spiritual. And people go, oh, you're really spiritual, and it kind of fills up your self-worth bucket. And then when people don't think you're really spiritual, you're angry with them. They didn't notice you're serving or something like that. That means it was filling up your self-worth bucket. Or sometimes it's so that people like you because it makes you feel accepted, because you haven't felt accepted before. You've got to get right back to or you think it's going to make God love you more, or it's going to be more assurance of your salvation. But you've got to come right back to what it's all about. And there's a story, I'm going to read a story, but the just before this story is John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River, and he sees Jesus coming. And Jesus comes to be baptized, and John goes, I shouldn't be baptizing you, but Jesus, no, you will baptize me. So Jesus is baptized, and there's this visible representation of the Holy Spirit. Not that you can actually see the Holy Spirit, but God gave a visible representation so that everyone who could see, well, what is happening here? The Holy Spirit descended from heaven like a dove onto Jesus, and then a voice came from heaven. It said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Identity. This is who he is. Jesus really knew who he was, and he knows who he is. He's really sure of who he is. And this is a key thing. You need to know who you are. In 1 John 3, it talks about the lavish love of God that's been poured on us, that we would be called sons and daughters. And he loves you as a son and daughter. And that truth is so key to hang on to know that he loves you dearly, because when you go through the troubles and trials of life, you need to know this essential truth. That's the thing that will hold you firm. If you don't know that you will be easily washed away if you don't know who you are. And interestingly, straight after this, we read this very interesting verse that says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So this Father says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now we're going to go in the wilderness where you're going to be tempted by the devil. You have to know you're loved, or you're not going to win. You have to know that you go through some trials because he is discipling you, apprenticing you, training you. Imagine if you saw all the trials you go through as another training program. Because training programs are trials, don't you think? But trials make you fitter and stronger. And when you look at Jesus in this temptation in the wilderness, which I'm not going to unpack now, the thing that you see is that he is stronger on the inside than the things that are going on around him. The very first thing the devil tries to test him with is, he says, if you are the Son of God, it's his identity. You will have that happen to you all through your life, where you'll hear a voice saying to you, if God really loves you, this wouldn't have happened. Testing your identity, where you say back to him, well, God loves me, so he's going to bring something good out of this, because you've been made strong within. So you think of all the trials that you have today, and the biggest problem that you have is actually how you see the trials. Because if you know who you are and you are stronger in within you, as it says in the scriptures, greater is he who is within you than he was within the world. The power of the Holy Spirit within you is greater. And in Jesus' trial in the wilderness, that's what he put into practice, the power of the Word of God to overcome the work of the enemy. And then he comes out and it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. That was setting him up for his ministry. Imagine if your trial was simply to set you up for bringing the manifest presence of God into the world. I find it hard to believe that sometimes, even for myself, but I have seen that happen. And I'm sure many of you have as well, that your trials, because you have a Father who loves you to bits, allows you to go through things so that the strength within you can get up stronger than anything else that's going around you, and you can demolish it. Because Jesus said, John says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. And that's what he did in the wilderness. He destroyed the devil's works. And then he comes out of there, of the wilderness, and he starts 3 years of destroying the devil's works, culminating with his death on the cross, where he totally destroys the devil's work, rises from the dead, destroys the devil's work, and says, follow me, and I'll teach you to do the same. That's a profound thing. So ask ourselves as we're going through this, am I a follower or am I just a passive observer? Which one am I? I'm a follower or am I a passive observer? Do I like being here because it feels nice, or would I like to decide I want to be apprenticed to this because I want to see the world change? So I'm going to read you a story now. This is like one of the first things that you see Jesus. He goes and he teaches in the synagogue. And in John 4, you read about this, and then this little story happens. Then Jesus went to Capernaum. Oh, sorry. As I read this, I want you to see what stands out to you, okay? Something will stand out to you. And the reason I'm asking you this, it's not right or wrong, but I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today. And he always speaks to each person differently. So when we read the scriptures, he will say something to you. So be ready, see what stands out to you. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There too, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet, come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched, and it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. That's the manifest presence of God, okay? Now, what stood out to you in that? You have 30 seconds to tell that to someone else. So you got, or maybe you'll say 60, you get 30 seconds each. Go. Okay, wrap up your conversations. Hand up if the person next to you saw exactly the same thing you saw. Ish. But most people didn't. So isn't that amazing? That one little story, and most people saw something totally different. So the reason I want you to tell that person what you saw, firstly, they'll learn something from you. And secondly, go and think about, why did that stand out to you? What is Jesus doing to train me up with what I saw? Because what you saw is really important. He knows where you are. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. What is he doing to train you up with what you saw? There's a few interesting things in this. There's lots of hundreds actually of interesting things in this passage, because we all saw different things. But firstly, this evil spirit, you know it's not the man saying this. It's a spiritual thing, because he says, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Yes, he has come to destroy the demonic powers. And nobody knew that point. Jesus has just started his ministry, that he was the Son of God. So, but the spiritual world knew. And the spiritual world was on high alert by this point, because they know his plan. I read it to you before, came to destroy the devil's works. And this demon cries out, "Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." Yes, he has come to destroy the devil's works. And you are being apprenticed to be with the one who does that, to become like the one who does that, and to go and do those works. That's amazing. And you might think, "Oh, this is too much for me." No, it's not, actually not. It's not, because he's already training you and equipping you, and it's not going to be as hard as what you think, because he's just going to use the natural gifts and talents that you have, and he's going to fill them with his power. You will do things that you didn't even realize were something amazing. This is the manifest presence of God. The second thing I notice here is that all these people were in the synagogue. They're in the synagogue, okay? They're in their place of worship. And the guy with the evil spirit's been there every week. And so the ever-present God has been there, but not the manifest presence of God. What we want when we gather every week is not just the ever-present God, which means he's here. We want the manifest presence of God to see people's lives changed. And that just doesn't happen just through me. That happens through all of us who during the week are apprenticing to Jesus to become more like him. So that then you come and you are ready to pray, to bless, to encourage, to share, to serve, so that people can experience the manifest presence of God. Next thing is, this guy was in the place of worship with a demonic presence, and that doesn't make him bad. Sometimes we think he was evil. No, the demon within him was evil. He's just the same as the rest of us. And the truth is, someone here could be sitting here today being tormented by an evil spirit. You just think you're tormented, or you just think you need help. You might need to be set free from that, because it's tormenting you, and it's loving tormenting you. And the Son of God came to set you free. And all of us come with something that we need to be set free from, the pressures of the world, which feel like they are greater than the power within us. And we need someone to minister to us in that and to pray for us with that. I prayed for someone not so long ago who was going through a really hard time and needing work, and she sent me a message saying, I got work, because she asked someone to pray for her. It's amazing when you actually open up and say, can you pray for me for this? And someone whose faith might be a bit stronger for that situation than yours, because you're staring at it all the time, prays for you and something happens. And we say, that's amazing, something happened. We are called to be bringing in the manifest presence of God. So Jesus says this, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Hint, if you're a follower of Jesus, just remember, the Father does his work through you. You don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Super Amazing. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. So listen now. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, the God who encompasses the entire visible and invisible world, is about to tell you the truth about something. So listen. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Lots of people have written about what that greater works means. And I think just start doing it and you might find out. Because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. This is the purpose. Not so that people think you're a super amazing Christian, but so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it for you. No, it doesn't say that. And I will do it. So the question is today, will you be a follower of Jesus who learns to live in the Spirit's power? Is that what you would like to be? You might be scared of it. You might think you're not up for it. You might think you're not good enough for it, but do you want it? It's not a matter of how you evaluate yourself. It's just, would you like that, even in your fear, to step out and have a go? Sometimes you've got to have a go when you're afraid. Like the first time we took our kids to Wet n' Wild up on the Gold Coast, I'd never been to a massive water park like that before, and I'm going to give myself a go of these massive slides, you know, where you come down through all the tubes. And I got up the top there and I'm standing there, I was so scared. I'm thinking, I can't do this. Before I realised that the 8-year-olds next to me were going down and coming back up again and they were still alive, and I thought, maybe I can do this. So I jumped in and I went up again and it was fun. The next time it wasn't scary. And so sometimes you just got to do things scared and find out. I stepped out and it was a bit scary, but wow, I'm really glad I became an apprentice of Jesus and not just someone who thinks I've got the ability to run my own life. And what's more, once I became an apprentice of Jesus, you start to realize you can bring good into someone else's life. You start to learn to be generous beyond what you'd ever think you'd do. And I had a situation recently where someone randomly texted me. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, just ask them a few more questions. So I did, not someone in this country, another country I hadn't seen for ages. And I kept digging and I discovered they were going through a really difficult time. And I went to bed thinking, I think I meant to give them something. Lord, I need a sign. I woke up the next morning and the verse for the day was something about generosity or something. I said to Graham, this happened and I really prayed and read the scriptures and it said this today. Because you have to start reading the scriptures. You just have to stop. You have to stop. So, but once you give it away, you think, oh, wow, that's great. This is the most fun thing of the day, actually being able to be generous to someone. Like you go and pray for a kid to go to youth camp or buy them a box of Weet-Bix, and you will love youth camp even if you're not there. because you'll feel like you're part of it, something. But it's Jesus who apprentices us to be like that. So a couple of questions. Is that what you want? And even if you're scared, because if you want it, he will give it to you. So I'd just like you to ask the Lord for it now, just thinking of how we would like to do this. Why don't we just pray that we receive the Holy Spirit? And if you want that, just raise your hand and let's say, look, I want to be more like this. You might have said, I've received the Holy Spirit once and I'm all together. Well, you may have received the Holy Spirit once, but you're not all together. Sorry to break it to you now. So I would like to be even more like Jesus. I would like, when I die, not people say she had a clean kitchen, which I don't always have anyway. But wouldn't it be great if when you died, the first thing people said was, I saw her becoming increasingly like Jesus, increasingly like Jesus or him or whoever you are. So if you'd like that, we're just going to pray for that. And I just invite you to just put your hands in front of you if you'd like that. Because from your hearts, between you and Jesus, I want to be increasing. I want to be a follower. I want to be a disciple. Just put your hands in front of you. I just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you that you are present. We thank you for your ever-presentness with us. But we thank you for your manifest presence. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill each one of us who is reaching out to you now in faith and expectation. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. And may we be apprenticed to you. May we be with you and know you more intimately. And may we become like you. And may we do what you do. Even if we start with tiny little baby steps of just forgiving someone, of being nice to someone, just the little baby steps. Until, Father, we come to that place of being like you in the synagogue where we can simply say to a demon, get out, and it's gone. And we see someone miraculously set free. Thank you for your manifest presence here today, Lord. And we receive you. We receive you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask the worship team up and we're going to do a little bit of practicing apprenticing to Jesus. Because do you know you can do it during in the worship songs as well? And I've asked them if we could do the very first one we did this morning. I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. So that means this is going to strengthen you on the inside, okay? So what it means is get this song in your head, and as you go through this week, there will be difficult things. And you say, but I'm apprenticed to Jesus, so I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And the reason that you praise the Lord in the presence of anything difficult is because you believe that you're a child of God and he is for you. And nothing can come against you. And he promises that he will take everything and he'll work it together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. But sometimes you start to fail on the inside because you can't imagine how he's going to bring something good out of it because it just seems too much. So an apprentice to Jesus raises a hallelujah. And as we go through the words of this song, don't just sing it as if this is the credits to the movie at the end of the service, because it's not. Okay? This is Apprenticeship 101. We're going to stand and you declare it in your heart, in your mind, over yourself, and then get it into your heart and mind so that as you go from here, you do this through the week and see what happens. So let's stand.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.